Mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Dear friends in Christ, our text for today. So what color of light do you like? I mean, if it were Christmas, maybe we'd say we like green lights or red lights, blue lights or white lights. You know, what color of lights do you put around your house if you do decorate the house or maybe on your tree? But here's another question. What color of white light do you like the best? Because there's different ones, aren't there? I mean, do you like daylight or soft white or bright white? Do you like fluorescent bulbs like these up here? Or do you like LEDs? You know, there's all, yeah, not all lights look the same. There's a bunch of them that are different. Fluorescent bulbs tend to be a little bit harsher. LEDs might look bluish, and some light bulbs, of course, can no longer be made legally in the United States because the government says they're not efficient enough. And in case you're wondering, my mother-in-law had a stash of incandescent bulbs. Some others of you might as well. I hope, of course, God doesn't run an efficiency test on you and me. I mean, have you ever thought of that when you hear these words that Jesus said to his disciples? You are the light of the world. I mean, how much light have we actually shined lately compared to the energy that God invests in us? And if we think about that for just a second, and maybe it'll make us squirm just a little bit. Maybe a little uncomfortable right now. That's okay. You can be a little uncomfortable. But God's word today is really good news. It really is great news. It doesn't say that we should be light or that we must shine brighter. It doesn't say anything like that. Or that somehow if you don't shine bright enough, God's going to replace you. No. It says you are the light of the world. It's who you are. See, what it does is it helps us see that as we follow Jesus, we also, as we're following him, we actually do brighten up the world. It's almost as if it happens without our working, our doing at all. See, Jesus had, in our text today, Jesus had just described how blessed are those who have faith in him. And now, of course, he talks about how bright we are. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm not the brightest bulb in the world. God created the world, and the first command he said was, let there be light. In Hebrew, it's really cool. In Hebrew, it's Yahi-or. Let there be light. 3 days later, he created the moon and the sun and the stars to provide light by day and by night. And in the gospel, and when Jesus comes into the world, he's turning the lights on anew. The sun and the moon, of course, are still doing their jobs, but there's a job that they can't do. You know, when a person is going the wrong way, we hope and pray that that person will see the light, that they might be in darkness in the very middle of the day because of the direction they're heading in. You know, let's say if a room is dark. If a room's dark, there's a few ways to bring light on, right? Light into it. You can turn a light switch. Electricity turns on the light bulb, right? That will light the thing. Maybe you open the shades or the curtains if it's daylight and let light in then. You can light a candle, light a lantern. We can carry a flashlight. do anything like that. You know, there's different ways that we can light up a dark room. But there's only, of course, one way to pierce the darkness of our sin and of our unbelief. God turns the lights on by bringing us to trust in Jesus, to have faith in what our Lord has done for us. See, Jesus is the light of the world, and the light scatters the darkness. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Follow me," his word turned the lights on for them. They were changed. I don't know, however, there's a place back in Florida called Mariana Cavern State Park. It's what you would guess. It's a cavern. I don't know how many of you have ever visited caves or caverns before where they take you on a tour. And just to show you how dark it is in there, they turn off all the lights. And you can hold your hand this close to your face and you can't see anything. Your eyes can't adjust to that level of darkness. It's one of those things that, and yet one little spark, one tiny bit, that the guide will usually turn on his little pen light, and it's all better. Just that little pen light, maybe in this huge cavern, it brings light. That little light can dispel all kinds of darkness. See, Jesus changes people that he comes in contact with, and he changes us. In our baptism, we're actually taken out of the kingdom of darkness. His light shines in our darkness. We're made followers of Jesus, of course, who is the light of the world. Ephesians 5 actually says it this way, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Light can be painful. Absolutely can be painful. Maybe you've woken up from a dead sleep and somebody flips on a bright light in your face. And you, what do you yell? "Turn the light off!" That's how my dad used to wake me up to go to school in the morning. He'd flip the light on and say, "Time to get up, boy!" "Okay, Dad." "Well, it hurt. Turn it off." We yell. I mean, that's how much, and that was how a lot of people actually reacted to Jesus when he brought light into his world. Sin loves the darkness. Most crimes in this world don't happen during the daylight. They happen at night, in the shadows, in the darkness. I mean, that is so true that the mayor of Indianapolis actually made light a key part of his anti-crime platform. He said that he was going to install 4,000 new streetlights in the high crime areas of the city to push crime out of the neighborhoods. That's how much sin loves darkness. Of course, Jesus has a different plan to drive out the darkness. To turn on the lights for us meant that Jesus, the light of the world, would actually have to be snuffed out like a candle. That Jesus, his life would be snuffed out like a candle. "He came to his own," John said in his gospel, "and his own people did not receive him." The powers of darkness, in the world, sought to kill Jesus. And on Good Friday, it looked like they'd succeeded. He's hanging on the cross, and his cold, lifeless body was laid in a tomb, in a dark tomb. There's no windows in the tomb because the dead don't need any light. They don't need windows. But in the bright light of Easter morning, Jesus throws open the door of the grave and death. He opened wide the doors and the windows to our graves as well. Paul calls him the first fruits of the resurrection. And he promises that we will live even though we die. We'll live with him in eternal light and eternal life forever. But let's face it, forever might be a long time from now. Okay? And forever was not the focus of Jesus on this particular day. Living in the light, or light living, means living now in the light of Jesus. It means living out what we really are. It means living as forgiven children of God. Our lives are actually designed to have a tremendous impact in the world. Back in 2013, Eric Metaxas wrote a book called Seven Men. And he identifies in this book seven people who've had a remarkable impact on the world, an incredible impact. People like George Washington, Jackie Robinson. The one thing that most of the stories about them leave out, and in this secular world it's no wonder, but it's the common inspiration amongst all of them is often not told. They did what they did because of their faith in Christ. Faith changed their lives and changed their world. Now, followers of Christ, we don't just believe differently than others. We actually live differently than others. I mean, the truth is, if we can't be easily distinguished from unbelievers, well, it's either because they're becoming like us, or worse, we're becoming like them or behaving like them. And if we're behaving like them, it's not always a great thing. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works." Following Jesus, of course, is more than personal enlightenment. It's easy. I mean, shades in the windows, well, they're good for privacy. They really are. But don't draw down the shades of your faith as you live throughout the week. A covered lamp is a waste of light, and so is a concealed faith. After all, you are the light of the world. That's a blessing and a responsibility. It's a blessing because that's who you are. Although the interesting thing is, I've often said that we can't help but be light. We can't help but be salt because we're Christian. We can't. It just kind of spills over into our everyday lives. You know, following Jesus isn't for our personal benefit. It calls for us to actually be the hope for the world. And it's easy for us to find fault with our society, right? It's common for us to complain that things are going from bad to worse and that evil seems to be gaining the upper hand. No doubt, Jesus could probably see that in his time as well. But instead of hand-wringing and complaining, one by one, Jesus brought people out of darkness into the light, just as he did for you and for me. And then he sent the ones that he brought to the light of faith, to make other holes in the darkness, if you will, wherever they went. God's people are God's force in the world, and it's a force to be reckoned with. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to fly at night. If you ever have a window seat and look out, you see the little, you can almost spot the towns and the cities because of the lights that are out there, right? I mean, each one of those lights represents a town, a city, or a home, a street, any of these things. That's actually kind of God's plan for calling us to follow Jesus. God actually says in let there be light. I mean, and I'm going to paraphrase here from Genesis chapter 1, that let there be light where my people live. Wherever my people live, let there be light. Peter says it probably better, keep your conduct honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You know, today we have all kinds of light meals, light food, light drinks, you know, all kinds of things. But light living, as Jesus described, is it's not about less, it's about more. Okay? It's about more good works, more doing for our neighbor, loving our neighbor. That's how our light shines. It's not, Our light shines not by doing heroic acts or feats of superhuman strength. Our light shines by following Jesus, by living a Christian life. That's how our light shines, by living according to His law. Of course, Jesus came to fulfill the law, not that we could ever do it perfectly. But fulfilling God's law is actually showing concrete love for other people. And even if we don't do it perfectly, loving our God and our neighbor actually makes our faith visible. I always like to, one of my favorite sayings of Luther's is, God doesn't need your good works, your neighbor does. When we do the good things for our neighbors, for our friends, for our neighbors, our whoever's around us, that's your showing your light. That's shining the light that God has given to you. By treating others well, by maybe going and trying to make somebody smile instead of trying to make them scowl. Shining your light. And kind of like the disciples, sometimes we're dim in shining our light, aren't we? But we still have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are still forgiven children. Doesn't mean that we stop trying to shine the light. We continue to shine the light because of what Christ has done for us. Because His life, because His life was snuffed out for us, because He died and rose again for us, how can we but shine the light that He gives to us each and every day? Light bulbs come in all kind of different, all different kinds, right? And Christians do too, but whatever shape, whatever your shape, whatever your color, because of Jesus, you are the light of the world. That's what you are. You can't help it. Just don't shade it, okay? In Jesus' name, amen and amen.